almost 14 years, I've been preaching confirmation sermons. But in recent times, I've been asking those to be confirmed to start before the bishop gets going. The bishop tends to go on for too long anyway. There are so many wonderful stories that lie in people's lives, and when they come to this act of confirmation, it's a chance for them to tell us something of their story. And then, depending on how that goes, the bishop, and I might even ask the vicar of the parish to tell something of our stories as well. So who's going to be first?
I was baptized here at St. Matthew's 11 years ago, which might not seem like a very long time ago, but is actually a very long time for me, as I was only 4 weeks old when I was baptized. I didn't understand then what being a Christian meant, or what the Anglican Church stood for. I have a better idea now, as I have been attending services here at St. Matthew's with my family. My brother Darren was also confirmed here a few years ago. For me, being confirmed means taking responsibility for my own beliefs and being accepted as part of the St. Matthew's family.
Good morning, everyone. St. Matthew's and the congregation have enlightened me in my path towards knowledge, trust, kinship, and faith. What a refreshing feeling it was to walk into St. Matthew's 3 years ago on a similar chilly morning like this, to find out, hey, they all think just like me. This isn't so bad after all. My spiritual journey was commemorated by my baptism about 2 years ago here also at St. Matthew's. And my confirmation is a symbol of my commitment to the church and my faith community here at St. Matthew's. Thank you.
My spiritual journey to this time and place seems to me like a woven fabric, which has many colours and threads contributing to it. But it has a few main threads that I want to identify this morning. The first is the partnership with my soul friend, my Anamkara, of more than 25 years. I use that Celtic term because it speaks about the foundation of what we have together as an ever-growing, extensive, expansive God experience that wraps itself around our life together. We have, most fortuitously, a connectedness in the way we embrace this spiritual journey. The second thread is our all-important family, our two sons, who are extremely valuable to us as creative companions in our lives. Barry and I wanted to be in a worship home where all of us, whether or not the choice was made to attend, would be accepted and unconditionally included, having no special criteria to enter into the sanctuary. And the third thread is me as an individual, which is expressed very helpfully in the words of the Irish writer John O'Donoghue. He says, "You were given freedom and creativity to go beyond the given, to make a new set of relationships and to forge an ever new identity, inclusive of the old, but not limited to it. This is the secret pulse of growth, quietly at work behind the outer facade of your life. Destiny sets the outer frame of experience and life. Freedom finds and fills its inner form. I stand here today in a newfound freedom. And in that freedom, this is what I've chosen."
Good morning. It's good to be here. I was baptized in St. Matthew's last Sunday, so I've got a lot of experience to talk about over the last week. As I mentioned last Sunday, I was a preacher for my previous church for nearly 20 years, and I haven't preached a sermon for quite some time, but I'll try and keep this short anyway. Just three significant things that have happened in my faith development in recent years. Trish and I had the opportunity at the turn of this century to plant a new church in Christchurch. And one of the concepts or visions we had for that church is that it would be a place that people could come and explore the whole concept of faith and discover Jesus through relationships rather than through program. And that was an exciting time for us. We spent 4 years in that ministry and growing and developing personally in our own faith as well. But unfortunately, because of resources, we had to finish that project after that four-year period. But it was a great opportunity for learning and development in my own faith journey. Another opportunity I had in recent years was to be involved in the development of the Bridge Program, Alcohol and Drug Program in Manukau. And as some of you will be aware, one of the concepts of working in A&D is the spiritual component as being vitally important to people's lives. And Trish and I had the opportunity of starting and developing a recovery church in Manukau where people could come. And our motto was that this would be a place that you could belong before you believe. In other words, you didn't have to skip over a number of hurdles of doctrine and belief to be a part of that church. It was a place that you could come and explore the whole concept of God and faith and be a part of that journey. And that was an exciting time for us and an exciting time for me in my own development as well. And that church continues to grow and develop, and that's been an exciting part of my journey. More recently, last year when Trish and I were going through the stages of thinking that we probably needed to move on in our journey, we adopted a spiritual tool that was developed through the Jesuit Society. And some of you may have read the readings of the Lynns, Matthew and Dennis and Sheila Lynn. And one of the things they developed was the concept of examine. And it's quite a simple process, but what Trish and I would do at the end of each day is to sit down at the end of the day, light a candle, sit next to that candle, and just think of two things about that day. One was, what is it about this day that has been most life-giving? And what is it about this day that has drained life from me? And the whole concept of that is to find and seek a direction in your life. In other words, we should be doing the things that are most life-giving for us. And we practice that spiritual discipline for around about a month. And we realized that much of what we were doing in our daily journey was draining life from us instead of giving us life. We really needed to be working within the passions that we had. And that was part of a process that took us on from our faith journey from where we were into St. Matthew's. And when we came and started attending St. Matthew's, we realized that this church had so many of the components of our vision and of our life journey. This was a place of acceptance, a place that people could come and explore the concept of faith, to find the ways of Jesus through relationship rather than through program. And in a sense, that was an affirmation and a confirmation for us that we were in the right place. And that's, I guess, three main things that have brought us here to this point today: to be baptized last Sunday and then to confirm our faith today at this significant time. So thank you for your support, and we look forward to continuing as part of this family. Thank you.
I was confirmed by another Bishop John, whom some of you will remember, John Simpkin, the bishop who never smiled. I was 12 years old. I was dressed as an angelic-looking choir boy in St. Andrew's Church, Pukekohe. And there were about 30 or 40 of us, as I recall, being confirmed. And I was sitting in the choir stalls behind the bishop, and most of the others were in the front three or four pews, and they were giggling and laughing. And just as little Anna thought, my hat this morning made me look funny. And with the honesty of a child, told me something. So those to be confirmed that night in Pukekohe were laughing at the way the bishop was dressed, I think. Anyway, about 10 minutes into the service, Bishop Simpkin stopped the service, got up and said to the front three pews, unless you children, and he called us children, start to be quiet and behave, I'm going to pack up and go back to Auckland. It struck a fairly negative note, of course, but it made me realize that the bishop felt that what he was about to be doing was a very important thing and that we were taking it too lightly. Well, he went through with the service and he confirmed me. And the grace of God slowly went to work in me and in my life. I went the next year, and for 5 years, in fact, I caught the early morning workers' train from Pukekohe and went into King's College. And during my time at King's, the germ of an idea that God might be wanting me to be ordained came into my head. I wasn't brave enough to let on to the other fellows at King's because there didn't seem to be many of them thinking similar thoughts. So I didn't say anything. And in my final year at King's, that eccentric headmaster, Jeffrey Greenbank, pulled me aside one day and said, "What are your plans for next year?" I said, "University, sir, and probably study law." "No, you're not," he said. "God wants you to be ordained." And I thought, how on earth does he know that? Never said a word. He said, "I've watched you for 5 years. The bishop's coming out tomorrow to a board meeting and you're going to talk to him. So come back to me tomorrow and tell me that you're prepared to do that." So my headmaster pushed me into ordination. I went home that night and told my mum and dad what the headmaster had said to me. And they said, "We've known that for years. Go and talk to the bishop." So I did. So confirmation is a very dangerous thing. Look what it did to me. Glenn, do you remember the day of your confirmation? Stand up and tell us about it.
With a bishop called Eric, not a bishop called John, and but it wasn't really a milestone in my life. We all just dressed up in white and processed through a little bit like sausages in a factory, I think. I think my spirituality was formed much earlier in the basis of relationships, connection with the wider physical world, and with who I was or could be. Following Jesus became real for me a couple of years after that when I was 14. And it was bright and colourful, McDonald's sort of soul food, but good for a hungry teenager. And since then I've tried and been sustained by a lot of different foods, from Pentecostal artificial whipped cream, Anglo-Catholic smoked fish with capers, to contemplative fondues with soft lighting, middle Anglican vegetable broth without the cream. Jesus is still very real, because ultimately I don't think it matters what we eat to sustain us. The theological banquet will always be diverse. What matters is how we use that food, and whether we find a comfortable sofa in suburban Auckland to sit on and grow fat, or whether we take the often hard journey of following God and discovering God and helping or being helped by our neighbour. Because ultimately, I don't think it's about what we believe, but how we live. And for most of my years, my spiritual life has been spent trying to encourage people to laugh a lot, to enjoy life, to celebrate all those little quirky things, to question dogma, to think about spirituality, to open our eyes to wonder, and most of all, to trust what our hearts are telling us.
Thank you, Glenn. I'm not going to ask everybody in the congregation to speak, but will those of you who remember the day of your confirmation, please just raise a hand. It does stay in your mind, does it not? So as we pray for these four people who've had the courage to make this commitment today, recall that day in your lives for your confirmation and keep walking with four new companions in the way of Christ. Amen.